Satvatman,
Satvatman,
Dehayam,
Dehayam,
Visheshayam,
Visheshayam,
Sthagiyase,
Sthagiyase,
Namas,
Namas,
Trailokya,
Trailokya,
Phalaya,
Phalaya,
Saha,
Saha,
Ojo,
Ojo,
Phalaya,
Phalaya,
Cha, Sarva Satvatma Dehayam, Namas Trailokya Phalaya,
Namas Trailokya Phalaya,
Saha Ocha Phalaya Cha,
Saha Ocha Phalaya Cha,
Sarva Satvatma Dehaya,
Sarva Satvatma Dehaya,
Visheshaya Stavishase,
Visheshaya Stavishase,
Namas Trailokya Phalaya, existence, Atma, soul, Dehaya, unto the body, Visheshaya, diversity, Stavijase, unto the material world, Namaha, offering obeisances, Trailokya, three planetary systems, Phalaya, maintainer, Saha, along with, Ojaha, prowess, Balaya, unto the strength, Cha, also. Translation and purport by Divine Grace. अद्वैत शरणागत भक्ति विदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की। माय डियर लॉर्ड, यू आर द जिगेंटिक यूनिवर्स टू फॉर्म व्हिच कंटेन्स ऑल द इंडिविजुअल बॉडीज ऑफ द लिविंग एंटिटीज। यू आर द मेंटेनर ऑफ द थ्री वर्ल्ड्स एंड एज सच यू मेंटेन द माइंड senses, body, and air of life within them. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Please repeat. My dear Lord, you are the gigantic universal form which contains all the individual bodies of the living entities. You are the maintainer of the three worlds, and as such, you maintain the mind, senses, body, and air of life within them. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport. As the individual body of the living entity is composed of millions of cells, germs, and the microbes, the universal body of the Supreme Lord similarly contains all the individual bodies of the living entities. Lord Shiva is offering his obeisances to the universal body, which includes all other bodies, so that everyone's body may fully engage in the devotional service. Since this individual body is composed of senses, all the senses should be engaged in devotional service. For instance, the smelling instrument, the nose, can be engaged in smelling the flowers offered to the lotus feet of the Lord. The hands can be engaged in cleansing the temple of the Lord, etc. Indeed, being the life air of every living entity, the Lord is the maintainer of the three worlds. Consequently, he can induce every living entity to engage in his real life's duty with full bodily and mental strength. Thus, every living entity should serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead by his prana, life, artha, wealth, intelligence, and words. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.22.35, Hitavaj janma shalpalyam dehinam iha deheshu praner arter diha vacha shreya archanam sada. Even though one may desire to engage in the service of the Lord, without sanction, one cannot do so. Lord Shiva is offering his prayers in so many different ways in order to show living entities how to engage in the devotional service of the Lord. Om Agyant Mirandasya Jananjanan Savataya Chakshur Nesham Jina Tajmaya Shri Divinam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shivashri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we see in these prayers of Lord Shiva, his whole attitude is to engage everyone in the service of Krishna. He's praying personally, but these prayers are for everyone. So when everybody uses these prayers, they're offering their obeisances, they're offering their everything unto the Lord. So the prayer is for constant engagement in the devotional service to the Lord. It's like the meaning of Hare Krishna, or Mother Hara, energy of the please engage me in the service of the Lord. So this is what the living entity needs, as Prabhupada says in the purport. Indeed, being the life air of every living entity, the Lord is the maintainer of the three worlds, Consequently, he can induce every living entity to engage in his real life's duty. With full body and mental strength. So real life's duty means service to Krishna. Jivasarupa Nitya Krishna. Jiva is the life of the body. And what is the constitution of that life? Nitya Krishna does. Eternal servant of Krishna. So Lord Shiva, Mahajan, his prayers are simply to engage all living entities and everything in the service of the Lord. So this is Vaishnava. Always he will want to try to find out how to engage everyone and everything in the Lord's service. So, because he is dealing with the material world and the living entities fallen in the material world, we see his prayers. First of all, he's addressing the deities, the predominating deities of the material world. Namely, Sankarsana, Aniruddha, Pradyumna, and Vasudev. So they're the predominating deities of the world. Everything expanding by their mercy. They're taking charge of everything. So first of all, he's offering his respect. Like, we're dealing with this material world. The conditioned nature is in the material world. So let's deal with the deities of the material world. Get their sanction. Get their permission. Get their service. Approach them with a proper service attitude. They're the big controllers and movers of this world. So they can engage everyone in their service. So, in the third canto, Prabhupada is describing the how the creation is manifested from these different deities. This is from the chapter 26 of the third canto, Fundamental Principles of Material Nature. And he's talking about these different personalities. This is the beginning of the creation. This is before the modes of material nature are manifested. Everything is ready now. That everything is, the living entities are here. The Vishnu is waking up. And so then the universe is started to happen. So in the beginning, it says only the mode of goodness is prominent. It said the mode of goodness, which is the clear, sober status for understanding the personality of Godhead, and which is generally called Vasudeva, or consciousness, becomes manifested in the Mahatattva. So Vasudeva, the first of the Chaturvyuha, so he is representing consciousness, pure consciousness. So we always hear the phrase Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada said, become Krishna conscious. What is that Krishna conscious? The beginning of Krishna consciousness is pure consciousness. Consciousness is that is unagitated, is still. Within that pure consciousness, then you can understand who you are. Then you can understand your relationship with Krishna. When the agitation of the three modes is going on, it's very difficult to see beyond the three modes of material nature. So when one has pure consciousness, that's called Vasudeva consciousness. Prabhupada says in the purport, the Vasudeva manifestation, or the status of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is called pure goodness or Sudhasattva. In the Sudhasattva status, there is no infringement of the other qualities, namely passion and ignorance. In the Vedic literatures, there is mention of the Lord's expansions as the four personalities of Godhead. Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. Here, in the reappearance of the Mahatattva, the four expansions of Godhead occur. And he who is situated within as a supersoul, he first expands as Vasudeva. So here, we know that there are Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. There are expansions on the outskirts of Goloka. And then they expand again as the Shankarshan expands as a chart of Yuha for the creation of this material world. And then comes Narayan, and then the whole, the three Vishnus, Karakshaya Vishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. So those quadruple expansions called Chapadyuha are manifested with here two times. But here Prabhupada said, here again is another manifest. They manifest again, right in the beginning of the creation of the material world. So they're in it now. They're in the material world, in the one Brahmanda, and they're going to do the management. So Vasudeva's first is the pure consciousness. Prabhupada says, in order to be situated in pure, clear consciousness, or Krishna consciousness, one must worship Vasudeva. So this was Lord Shiva's prayers, he's praying to these deities, Vasudeva, worshipping these deities, to get their mercy. In order to be situated in clear consciousness of Krishna consciousness, one must worship Vasudeva. Vasudeva is Krishna alone. Vasudeva contra pure consciousness. So it's an existence. It's a situation that, or it's actually also the position of eternality. That you're situated in this. Pure consciousness, which is the substance, actually is Brahman, it's Brahman realization, it's all pervading. So that is Vasudeva. So Krishna alone, with this Prabhupada said that, what's his name? Pondicherry? Aurobindo. He said he came very close to realizing Vasudeva. Then he met the mother, he said. But anyway, he said he was very close. But they had that ashram, also Aurobindo ashram in Pondicherry. They are worshipping Vasudeva, trying to come to this position of Vasudeva, in person, more or less. But that's all existing, pure consciousness. So it's more or less the goal of the jnanis. But anyway, Prabhupada said he came very close to it. He was a great muni. Krishna alone, Vasudeva is Krishna alone. When Krishna or Vishnu is alone, without the accompaniment of his internal energy, he is called Vasudeva. When he is accompanied by his internal potency, he is called Dwarkadish. To have clear consciousness or Krishna consciousness, one has to worship Vasudeva. It is also explained in Bhagavad Gita, after many, many births, one surrenders unto Vasudeva. Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Samahatma Sadulabha. Such a great soul is very rare. Krishna says, after many, many thousands and thousands of births of searching for the truth, being a jnani, one comes to this position of understanding. Vasudeva, aham brahmasmi. When you realize yourself as Brahman, then you can understand what is the total Brahman. Say, qualitatively, you become one with it. So it's this oneness with Krishna, the consciousness. Is what is called Vasudeva. So that's just the beginning of devotional service. First get yourself situated purely, as in pure consciousness. Chaitodarpana Marjanam, the beginning of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, it begins with this point, according to the Sikshastika. Chaitodarpana Marjanam, first clean the consciousness so it becomes Vasudeva. Very beginning. So, that's just the beginning. After thousands and thousands of births of being a jnani, of course, if you meet a devotee, that can be immediate. You can immediately come to this platform of Krishna consciousness by the mercy of a pure devotee, by simply engaging directly in the service of Krishna. Then you've skipped over all of that speculation and all that trying to understand and austerities and everything, because you come to the conclusion. As Lord Shiva said, life's ultimate goal is to render service to Krishna. So this is the mercy of a devotee. He can immediately take to this position of rendering service to Krishna. And we see practically, this is our society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. is based on this principle. Prabhupada established it on this principle of service to Krishna. Vasudeva is not service to Krishna, actually. It is the beginning point. So then one begins at that point. One becomes Vasudeva in consciousness, and then he's got to do activities in Vasudeva consciousness. That constitutes service to Krishna, or bhakti. So, in Prabhupada's way, he's established our society. This is the movement of Abhideya, or the service. We get these three principles, Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. Vasudeva is actually Sambandha. You've made connection with Vasudeva. You've made connection with the spiritual existence. So then you have to go further. What are you going to do? Now you're in pure existence. What's next? So then activities in that constitute service to Krishna. Pure devotional service. So that's the... what Prabhupada has established, the very first thing when we go to the temple or meet devotees, the very first thing they engage you in service. They talk to chant Hare Krishna, your namaseva, beginning. Whatever, take a book, read. Or if they go to the temple, they help us clean the pots, come out on Sankirtan, something like that. But you see that step of Abhideya is there. So immediately a person gets transported to his constitutional position of being a servant of Krishna. So you can become pure and you can come to this Vasudeva position and still not be a devotee of Krishna. And still not render service to Krishna. You can rise above the modes of material nature. You can come up to the transcendental platform. These can be achieved by various processes of self-realization. In fact, most of the process of self-realization, of bringing one to this point, but they don't have information of beyond that, service to Krishna. But it can be achieved by other processes of self-realization. but still there is not, they haven't brought one to the point of service to Krishna. So this is what ISKCON is doing, how Prabhupada established ISKCON. Immediately you come to this point of seva. So Sambandha Abhideya is immediately achieved, but the others are simply stuck on the Sambandha. They contacted spirit and that's it. But they think that's the ultimate goal. Most of them, due to the influence of Mayavada philosophy. So service to Krishna. Actually, Krishna doesn't need service. He's Atmarama. Why do you need service? He's self-sufficient, self-satisfied. So he doesn't need anything. We can't really... How we can... But what Krishna does like, being Rasaraj, he wants to enjoy that loving exchange, which is Krishna's business. It's to enjoyment. Service, work... It's something different. Krishna's business is enjoyment. So that's what Krishna loves. And we are created for that purpose, to assist him in this loving exchange. So the service is not, it's not that we're, the service rendered to Krishna is he's benefiting from that. But the service, it gives an opportunity to express our feelings and our love for Krishna. Without service, how you can do it? Without expression, how you can do it? So therefore, the Abhideya is a process of devotional service. We're performing different types of devotional service, but the motivation, underlying motivation of our service, is that we are doing this for to please Krishna. Expressing our loving devotion to Krishna. So Krishna, that's what he wants. That he's drawing it out through service. Abhideya, the deity, Prayojana deity. Prayojana means the goal. Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana, the goal. What is the goal? It's represented by Gopinath. We get Madana Mohanji, Govindaji, and Gopinathji, who represent these three aspects of Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana. So the goal is Gopinath. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us our identity. I'm not a Brahman, I'm not a Vaishyashudra, Brahmachari, Sannyasi, Brahman. Negative, negative. What is positive? I identify myself as Gopi Pariyokamala Das, 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 servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, who is the master of the Gopis. Gopinath, master of Gopis means Gopin. So Mahaprabhu has given us our identity as the eternal servants, or the servants of the servants of Gopinath. So he is the Ishtadeva of the Gaudiya Sampradaya, Gopinath. But practically speaking, we're part of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. But practically speaking, ISKCON, the ISKCON Sampradaya, the predominating deity is Govindaji. He's Ishtadeva. All around the world we have Darshan, what do we chant? Govindam, Mahdi Purusha. First time we see. So yeah, this is a preaching movement. So process, in preaching means engagement. What's the purpose of preaching? To engage everyone in Krishna service, like Shiva. Point of all of his prayers, again and again, he's bringing the same point. He wants to engage everyone in Krishna service. So this is the wonderful movement that Prabhupada has established as a movement of Abhideya, the process of devotional service. Preaching movement. Work now, samadhi later. So Govinda now, Abhideya now. Later, Prayojana, your samadhi, Gopinath. So, pure consciousness in the beginning. Then, after the pure consciousness is there, the modes of material nature unmanifest, then appears the ahankara, false ego principle, the purusha bhava aspect. I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer. So the living entity perceives this feeling, ahankara principle, this feeling that makes its appearance is a dictation from Shankarshan. And it's, I'm the Purusha, I'm the enjoyer. Yes, that's what I wanted. So now that desire is being manifested. I want to be the controller and enjoyer. So then now a reason for the creation to take place. There's no creation at that time, there's no need for it. Purpose of the creation is to satisfy the living entity's desire. Krishna has no need for it. He's got his own Goloka Vrindavan, he's got his own world of Vaikuntha. He doesn't need a material world. But it's created for the living entity. So the moment the living entity's desire, okay, then there's a cause for the manifestation to take place. So the three, that the threefold ahankara is known according to its mixture with tamagun, rajagun, and shatugun. But the first, after the appearance of the ahankara principles, then the manifestation can take place. So therefore, ahankara is said to be the source of the gross elements, the mind and the senses and everything. And it says it's identical with them because it is their cause. Because of the ahankara, it creates all the necessities we need for acting in the material world. All the atoms, ingredients, mind, intelligence, senses. So because it's manifested from the ego principle, the ego is said to be non-different from the ego. Because it's their cause. And it's known by the name of Shankarshan, who is directly Lord Ananta with 1,000 heads. So when that false ego mixes with the mode of goodness, from that evolves the mind. So Shankarshan is the predominating deity of the false ego, and then the mind is manifested, and the predominating deity of the mind is Aniruddha. And previous was pure consciousness of Vasudeva. So here's how they're manifesting. And So the different deities. The mind of the living entity is known by the name of Aniruddha, the supreme ruler of the senses. He possesses a bluish-black form, resembling a lotus flower growing in autumn. He's found slowly by the yogis. And then false ego mixed with passion, Rajagun, transforms into the senses. The intelligence. So now the intelligence is being manifested by the false ego mixed with passion. This is a chemical analysis. It's very scientific how this creation is. But the chemical breakdown is given in Srimad Bhagavatam. That's why it's such a scientific book. God said, let there be light, or let there be creation, and there was creation. But how? We want a little bit more than that. That's nice. It sounds okay. But Bhagavatam tells you scientifically how the creation came from. Beginning from the subtle point right down to the root. It's all in Srimad Bhagavatam. So then Aniruddha, the Pradyumna makes his appearance as a predominating deity of intelligence. And senses are also born from that mode of passion. Then when the ego, ahankara, is mixed with tamagun, then as a result of this mixture, this combination, then sound is created. Then you've got the ether, air, fire, and all the water, taste, then the fragrance, and then the earth. So it all starts from this sound, which is coming from... So sound creates the whole universe as we know it. All the forms and everything is created from sound. So the source of it, it's no different than the source, he said, because it's coming from, it was a subtle element. Sound is a subtle element. That's coming from an even more subtle element, the false ego and ignorance. But they're said to be non-different because they're emanations. They're non-different than their source. Jintaveda-veta-tattva. So the whole of creation, as we know it, and we see it, and we perceive it, is a manifestation of false ego in tamagun. How we can get enlightenment in this place? The basis of this whole material creation is coming from mode of ignorance, mixed with false ego. And we're trying to get something out of it and think we can advance in the material world and by ourselves. So it's impossible. So we have to take shelter of these different deities, predominating deities, or simply by surrendering to Krishna, then we can also we'll directly include everyone, as Shankarshan, Padmanabha, Aniruddha, they're all included. When you worship Krishna, you can worship everyone. In this purple Prabhupada said, in order to get released from false ego, one has to worship Shankarshan. Shankarshan is also worshipped through Lord Shiva. The snakes which cover the body of Lord Shiva are representations of Shankarshan. And Lord Shiva is always absorbed in meditation on Shankarshan. One who is actually a worshipper of Lord Shiva, as a devotee of Shankarshan, can be released from false material ego. If one wants to get freed from mental disturbance, one has to worship Aniruddha. For this purpose, worship of the moon planet is recommended. Now, you worship the moon if you have a problem with mind, right? They wear the moon, the pearl, mukta. If you have a mental problem, you go to the Jyotish, the astrologer, he gives you a pearl, you wear a pearl. Because you've got a problem in the mind. So that's... One should worship Aniruddha if one has any mental disturbances. Better than the pearl. So for this purpose, worship of the moon planet is recommended. In the Vedic literature... Similarly, to be fixed in one's intelligence, one has to worship Pradyumna, who is reached through the worship of Lord Brahma. Anyway, showing how these... different features, these different deities are acting and manifesting in this world. They are the movers and controllers of this world. So in this verse, now Lord Shiva is addressing the Lord in his Vishwaroop. First of all, he's addressing as the predominating deities of the mind and senses and the consciousness. But now he's addressing, my dear Lord, you are the gigantic universal form. And the universal form, it contains everything. It's everything is within that. So, since the individual body is composed of senses, all the senses should be engaged in the devotional service. For instance, the smelling instrument, the nose, can engage in smelling flowers offered to the lotus feet of the Lord. The hands can be engaged in cleansing the temple of the Lord. So all these ingredients can be used in the service of Krishna. Lord Shiva is pointing out everything can be used in the service of Krishna, and that's proper use of everything. The proper use of the senses is to use in the service of Krishna, because they're all manifestations from Krishna. So therefore it should be used in Krishna's service. Prabhupada said, if you use the government's property for your own pleasure, then you're like a court of thief. No, you're working for the government. It doesn't mean you're entitled to use the facilities for your own pleasure. You use them in the government service. So similarly, everything is Krishna's property and has to be used in Krishna's service. Otherwise, we're considered to be thief. So the nose should be used in Krishna's service. How now the Vishwaroop, he has a nose also. He has everything. Otherwise, we wouldn't have nose. Now we can smell the fragrance of flowers offered to the lotus feet of Krishna. But how we can, this sense of smell is only coming because Krishna desires the smell. As a universal form, it's a materialistic form, when he desires to smell, then the instruments will become manifested. And then the deities of smell, they enter into the nostrils. These are the Ashwini Kumaras, twin demigods. They enter into the nostrils. And these demigods, they're more or less all pervading throughout the universe. Because living entities are everywhere, and smelling is going on everywhere, scent is. So they enter into the nostrils of the Lord, and then the demigods empower each living entity with a sense of smell. Every sense, every point on the body is controlled by a particular demigod. You've got 33 crores of demigods, and every point of the body you're under some control. So when the Lord desires to smell, then the deities enter into his nostrils as well. Then they distribute that potency of smell, which is the Vishwaroop's potency, into each living entity. Therefore we can smell. Otherwise we can't smell. You use hands to clean the temple. So first, then the universal form, he desires to do something with his hands. His hands become, then Indra enters into it, because Indra is controlling activity. So then you can work. You can do work with hands without. But you can only do that. You can only do work with hands because Krishna desired to have hands. The universal form desired to have hands. So in this way, we see how everything is connected to Krishna, and there are so many subtle aspects of this world, of this creation, how it's done. All explained very scientifically, but the idea is that there's. There is so many different kinds of aspects in this material world. Pradyumna, Niruddha, Shankarshan, the whole story of how they. Then you've got the universal form, how he creates, how the demigods actually manipulate everything through the. How Krishna is. How we are realizing through Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana, how we realize Paramatma Bhagavan Brahma, how the one ashram is existing. Brahmano sham kumashit bahu rajanya kritaha puru tarashayad vaishaha padagam sutro vachayataha. The sutras become the legs of the Lord, therefore you got sutras in the world. The vaishas become the thighs, therefore you have businessmen. The kshatriyas become the arms, therefore you have brahmanas at the head. This is the Purusha Shukta mantra, the great glorifying the universal form. They all become manifest, they're manifested from the Lord. So many different aspects of trying to understand the Lord. In the end of that chapter, in the third canto, it says that there are all these aspects, that they're nothing but different aspects of Krishna. In other words, it's nothing but Krishna existing in everything. And all of his potencies are working. He works directly, but generally, especially in the material side of it, that's all done by his potencies, Krishna's business. That's why he never takes one footstep out of Vrindavan. But all the other creation that's going on, that's all different manifestations of Krishna's energy. So at the end of that chapter, it says that to try to understand everything, on all these different, how all the elements, how everything is working in this material world, he said, we can't understand. Lord Brahma was totally bewildered when Krishna showed a little bit of his energy. He said, I'm Lord Brahma, I'm supposed to know everything. I'm bewildered. I see a little display of your energy. I'm bewildered. So the end of this chapter says that you're trying so many different ways. Everybody's trying to understand. The scientists are trying to understand the purpose of life. Transcendentalists are trying to understand the position. He said, they go on forever. Everyone's trying. He said. So we come to this position, and in the last purport, Prabhupada describes it. He says, all we can do is simply offer our respectful obeisances to him as a matter of sanity. Otherwise, how you can understand what's going on? Impossible. So all we can do, Prabhupada, offer our respect as a matter of sanity, to keep sane. Do we take shelter? You're lotus feet, Krishna. You're the most sane personality. We take shelter. Otherwise, everything's insane, trying to work out how, you know, the whole problem trying to create this planetarium, you know. So therefore, the direct process has been given by Shiva here. If you want it, it's there, all these explanations and everything. You can study, you can search, different processes of approaching the Supreme Personality of God. But here you have service with Krishna. This is direct. Every living entity should serve the Supreme Person of God with his prana, with his article, wealth, his life, intelligence, words. And it is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, even though one may desire to engage in the service of the Lord. Anyway, this verse is quoting from Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th canto, when Krishna and Balaram, their friends, they're going through the forest, and the trees are offering all their fruits, they're bowing down, they're offering their fruits and flowers and leaves, and trying to touch Krishna's feet also with their branches. And Krishna's glorifying the trees. How noble and great are these trees? He said they're so magnanimous and so tolerant. It's all tolerant, the scorching heat, the sunshine. They give whatever anybody wants. You want fruits, leaves, flowers, fruits, sap, anything, firewood. They don't protest. You can take any, and they give everyone shelter in the scorching heat on themselves. They're so magnanimous. They don't hold anything back. They simply live for others. He said, this is such a nice example. Because this is just before they're going to go to ask the brahmanas for food. Now Krishna and Balaram are hungry. They're going to go and ask for food for Krishna and Balaram. And the brahmanas are going to say, no, we're not going to give you anything. So Krishna's just before, he knows what's going to happen, so he's speaking. It's about the trees, how magnanimous they are, that they're willing to give everything. Yet the qualified brahmanas, taking birth in brahmana family, following all the brahmanical principles, they wouldn't give. So Krishna was making an example. Even a tree, an ordinary tree, is much more pious than a qualified brahmana by birth, etc. But who doesn't, he's not willing to give to Krishna, to surrender to Krishna. So a tree which is considered a very low birth, practically unconscious, is more better than a so-called qualified brahmana who misuses his position. So, and we see that the wives of the brahmanas, because of their service, they immediately wanted to serve Krishna. Krishna's hungry, please take all this food. And the brahmana said, you can't take that food, that's for our sacrifices. We don't care, Krishna's hungry. They took it and ran off. But they didn't care for anything, they just wanted to serve Krishna. And they were allowed to serve Krishna. One has to be sanctioned to serve the Lord. They had the proper attitude, they could serve. But the brahmanas, even when they found out, oh my God, what did we do? Krishna, the Supreme Person of God, it was outside, and he's the goal of our Vedas, he's the goal of our sacrifices. We didn't serve him. Even when he was hungry, we could have given him food. Still they didn't go and give him food. Even they knew. Why? Because they were scared. If King Kamsa finds out that we're allies of Krishna, we're supporting Krishna, we're serving Krishna, he may be angry. They were scared. They could not surrender to Krishna. They didn't have that complete faith in Krishna. Aham tam sarva papi bhiyo. Krishna said, I'll protect you. No, they were still scared. Kamsa, he may punish us. So therefore, they didn't go and see Krishna. But the wives did. They had the proper service attitude. So that has to be there. Prabhupada said, even though one may desire to engage in the service of the Lord, without sanction, one cannot do so. Lord Shiva is offering his prayers in so many different ways in order to show living entities how to engage in the devotional service of the Lord. So even without the desire, one may have a desire to serve, without the sanction, one cannot do so. I read something in this line. This was from the life of Namacharya Haridas. But it's from Chaitanya Bhagavat. Quotation. And Haridas, this is the when Mahaprabhu was showing his Mahaprakashti and he was glorifying the devotees. And he was glorifying Haridas. And then Haridas was offering his prayers to the Lord. You have so many great devotees. Prahlad Maharaj, he was tortured by his father, he was thrown off mountains, he was put in fire. Tried to kill him in so many ways, but he simply remembered you and you saved him. I have no remembrance of you, I have no good quality. Drupadi, she was simply remembering you, Krishna, and you entered into her cloth, you supplied. I never remember you, I can never serve you, Krishna. Remarkable. Ajamila, he chanted the name of Narayan. He remembered the name, even though he wasn't calling the Supreme Person of God, he was calling his son. But he remembered the name Narayan. And he personally came and saved him. But I'm so unfortunate that I have no qualification. And Mahaprabhu was saying, he says, Haridas, you have your humility is beyond comprehension. You've never made any offences in your life. You've never offended me in any way. You've never offended. Therefore, I'm going to award you devotional service, Haridas. Then he said, what constitutes service is determined by the master, not the servant. The devotional service is not so cheap. We make all our work devotional service. And even though we may give much of ourselves to the Lord, it is up to their lordships to accept that service. The masters are the ones who decide what is service and what is something other than service. It's the masters who decide what is service and what is something other than service. So, not so cheap, it says, devotional service. So if that proper attitude is there, then why Krishna should accept your service? I mean, if the proper attitude is not there, why Krishna should accept? Just because we're doing some service, it doesn't mean Krishna's going to accept. So, of course, we're being taught the attitude also, Trinara Pisanchi, Doro Ropi Sushi, Ramaniam Vidanikitana. This is how we should approach devotional service. Not that I can serve Krishna. Today is the theoretical disappearance of Abhiram Thakur, great servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, very intimate friend of Nityananda Prabhu. He was one of the Dwadasa Gopalas, one of the 12 Gopal associates of Lord Balaram and Nityananda Prabhu. And he appeared in this world, Abhiram Thakur, Sri Ram, isn't it also known as Sri Ram? Sri Ram Abhiram. And he appeared in this world. Actually, he manifested a form, the form of Abhiram, to come into this material world. One time in Goloka, they were playing, Krishna and his friends, they were playing hide and seek. Somehow or another during that game, they decided to come to Navadvip, the Navadvip pastime was going to begin. So they still go to Navadvip, they also come forms. And came to Navadvip, form pastimes here, but they forgot about Sri. Abhiram is Sridham, yeah? Sridham? Krishna's friend? Sridham? Yeah, it must be Sridham. Yeah? Anyway, they forgot to tell Sridham. He was hiding in a cave. They forgot to tell that we're going to go down to the material world and do the Navadvip healers. So he was waiting there, and everybody left. So then Mahaprabhu said, "Where's Sridham?" So he must be still there. He said, "Go and get him, Nitai." So Nityananda went to find him. They found him in the cave. He said, "Hey, what are you doing here? Come on, we're all gone to Navadvip. Let's go down." He said, "Who are you?" He said, "What do you mean? I'm Balaram. Balaram is so small, so tiny. Balaram was a big figure." No, he's a Kali Yuga. He said, how can I believe you? He said, you can believe me because the only person who could catch him running was Nityananda with Balaram. So you start running, and if I can catch you, you'll understand. Because no one else could catch you. So immediately he started running. Nityananda immediately grabbed him. He said, "Yes, you must be Nitai." Anyway, he said, "Why did you leave me here? Nobody told me, you forgot all about me. I don't want to go. Anyway, I'll send one incarnation." So he manifested a body of Abhiram Thakur. He came down into this. He said, "I'll stay here till you come back." And that form of, he became Abhiram, known as Abhiram, or Sri Ram. He lives in the Hooghly district. It's called Krishnanaga, Kanawa Krishnanaga. And when he arrived there, at that place, then he had a dream. The deity said that he is buried here somewhere, Gopinath. So he dug at that place, and then he found the deity of Gopinath. Then they made that into a big kund. It's still there today. And at that time, he said it was like nectar. Anybody who took that water, it was like nectar. It's known as Abhiram Kunda. And he used to have a whip, it was called Jai Mangala. And anybody he beat with that whip, he'd get love of Godhead. So one day Srinivasacharya went to see him. And he came in and picked up his whip and he beat him one time, two times. So Srinivas was falling on the floor in ecstasy. He beat him three times. And he was symptoms of ecstasy and eruptions around his body. And then Abhiram's wife was there, she said, stop. He's only a little boy, he's a very young boy. He can't take so much ecstasy, don't give him any more. Already he's laying in complete ecstasy. And he said he had a flute. I think it was bamboo, he said it would, but it was 32 knots long. It was about that thick, a huge bamboo, or wood, but it had 32 knots in it. And he felt like he wanted to play the flute, and then he saw this big, huge tree. He said it would have taken at least 16 men to lift. Kavi Kanapo says 100 men would have to lift that. But he just picked it up, he made it into a flute, and he was standing in a tree bungee with it. huge log that took 16 men to go. So it was very famous. He was a very famous personality. If he would pay his obeisances to a Shalagram Shiva and it wasn't a real one, it would crack into pieces. Or even if the deity wasn't installed properly, the deity would crack. And he would pay his obeisances to children. In Nityananda Prabhu's children, he went to pay obeisances. The child immediately died. Not bona fide. 7 children of Nityananda's were killed. Like Devaki, right? She gave birth to 7. Jasoda also gave birth to 7. Maybe the same. Krishna gives that explanation. They're 7 representing palm fraud, all the bad qualities that were killed one after another. Then the womb was ready for the Supreme Lord. That was the explanation of Krishna's birth. So it may be the same, because Satyamata gave birth to many. And Nityananda Prabhu, his wife was Vashvada. Some people would tremble, especially the atheists, when they saw him, everyone was trembling. But even the devotees sometimes always come and pay obeisances to their children. But then Ganga Dasi was born. And he went to test her. Went after Nityananda gave birth. And Janama gave birth to Ganga Dasi. So he went to test her, he paid his obeisances. Maybe nothing happened. But 11 times I think he paid obeisances. He says, she is bona fide. She's okay. she's good to be your daughter. So she was born. Then he composed beautiful prayers of Ganga Deva. She was born exactly on Ganga Puja day. And she was an incarnation of Ganga Devi. Her spiritual form is Premavara Manjari in the spiritual world. She was an assistant of Srimati Radharani. I think she became the Ganga. And Abhiram was offering such beautiful prayers to her. And he says, when she was born, she wouldn't take milk from Vashvada's breast. So everyone was in anxiety, the baby was born and not taking any milk or anything like that. Then Nityananda Prabhu, he could understand, so he indicated to Janavi Devi. So Janavi, she initiated into the Krishna mantra, she spoke Krishna's mantra into the baby's ears, Ganga Dasi's ears. And she started taking the milk. So she was showing that life is useless without initiation. If you don't get initiated in Krishna, what use of living? She was just waiting to get the initiation. Yeah, many nice person. Birabhadra was born also. He went and paid his obeisance to Birabhadra. He was another son of Nityananda. He was okay. He was a bona fide son. And he went to, there's another place, I went there with Gauranga Premaharaj, we did it, Navadip Mandala Prikram. It's out that way, Hooghly side. And I can't remember the name, but the deity was there. And they said, Abhiram is coming, so Abhiram came. And then he saw the deity there, and the deity was saying, oh, it's Abhiram Thakur, you know, he looks at the deities and they turn into powder, they burst them. The Shaligrams. So the deity was saying he was sweating. And Abhiram came and paid his obeisances, and sweat was coming from his voice. And he said, he's okay, he's a bona fide deity. And then later on the deity spoke to him. He said, why did you do that? He said, frighten the life out of me. He said, no, he said, I did that and everybody saw you were sweating. He said, now that everybody knows that you are a bona fide deity. And he went to see also Gopal Guru. Gopal Guru was a little boy. When Mahaprabhu went to believe himself, he was holding his tongue. And Gopal Guru, what do you do that for? He said, well, I can't stop chanting Krishna's name, but I went out to the bathroom and I don't like to chant the holy name of the Lord when it's an impure act. And Gopal Guru said, you may do that, you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But what about other people? If they go, supposing they die when they go outside and they're not chanting the holy name of the Lord, what is their destination? Mahaprabhu said, he's right, he's right. You're right. From now on you will be known as Gopal Guru. you are a guru. So he was a very favorite of Mahaprabhu. He would sit on the lap of Mahaprabhu and play with him. Abhiram Thakur came and said, Abhiram is coming, and the little kid was scared out of his life. Gopal Guru. He ran into Mahaprabhu and jumped on his lap. Mahaprabhu held him. Abhiram came and he paid his obeisances. By the mercy of Mahaprabhu, nothing happened. Also, he went to see Raghunandan Thakur. Raghunandan Thakur was the son of Mukunda. We told the deity to eat the laddu, you know that story. You eat the laddu, eat the laddu. Because Mukunda told him to offer the sweet. If you don't eat it, my father will be angry. So we did, the deity ate the laddu, and father come back, where is the prasadam? He said, you told me to offer it, and I offered it. So that leela. So, Abhiram Thakur, as he's heard about this Raghunandan Thakur, I want to go and see him. Because Mahaprabhu said to Mukunda, his father, who is the father? You or Raghunandan? Mukunda said, I think Raghunandan is the father. He said, why? He said, because anybody who gives you love for Krishna, he should be respected as his father. He said, you are right. Raghunandan is sort of saying, if you love God, he is our father. So, Abhiram Thakur said, I go and see this. I've heard about this personality. Everybody went to Srikanda. Everybody was scared. Everybody leaving that place. So they hid Raghunandan. Mukunda hid him. And Abhiram Thakur came. Where is Raghunandan? Oh, he's left. He went to some relative's house. Gone. He was a little bit disappointed. He couldn't see him. So then he left the village. Then Raghunandan Thakur, he was informed. He was informed that the Abhiram Thakur came to see you, but we had to, they hid him out of sight. So he said, really, I want to see him. So he went chasing after him to follow him. And they embraced and paid his obeisances. Nothing happened. They were in ecstasy. And they were just dancing and big kirtan. Then he's... Is that Abhiram looking for it? No, it must have been... Anyway, his ankle bell flew off. They were in such ecstasy and danced looking on the ankle bell for it. He went a few kilometers away. Landed in the Kali Krishna, there's a devotee named Krishnadas. Landed in his house as a kund there now, Nupur kund, it landed in. So he was a famous, he delivered many atheists. He was a great preacher. There was this story of his marriage. There was this fairy, and she was living in a tree. And the landlord there, he saw this fairy was staying in. Local people began to notice, and so they went and told the landowner, you've got a fairy living out in the tree. So do you see how opulent everything's becoming? So much opulence is manifesting everywhere, due to the presence. So he was very happy to have that fairy there. Then named this person, he told the, I think it's a Kazi, when Kazi was there and listened. Or at least he was the big Jamindar. And he informed him that, you know, this fairy is living, actually that's your land, he's looking after it, but actually it's your land. You should. So he said, he sent a message, they said, tell the fairy to come and stay in the, she can lay and stay in the house. And she said, no, I won't come. But I'll stay in one place out nearby there. But you send the palanquin for me and I'll stay there. You bring me a sandesh every day. I'll stay there. So then she was staying there. She had friends and maid servants. And then one time Nityananda Prabhu went. Rabbi Ram was walking on the bank of the river there, the other side, and by that place where the fairy was staying. Celestial being, everybody understood she was coming from some kind of celestial being. So then Nityananda Prabhu said to Rabbi Ram, why don't you get married? Should you get married? So Rabbi Ram called out, Malini! Malini! Fairy, a celestial being, she heard him, she immediately. She jumped in the river with it. All her friends, oh, what are you doing? Come back, come back. She swam across the other side. And then the Kazi and everyone, they'd taken out that fairy, that celestial being away. So they made it, went after the with the soldiers and everything. So then they met and said, he said, what do you want? She was staying here with everything was opulent. You know, you're taking over, right? He said, this is my eternal consort. Expansion. All these eternal figures they have, they're consorts, all these. So this is my eternal consort. I'm taking. Okay. So then he took it. Jai Ram Thakur ki. Jai. Nitai go premanandi. Hare Krishna. Sri Prabhupada ki. Namo Bhagavatam ki. Any comment, question? You can see the deity of Gopinath if you go there. Kanal Krishna Nagar. Not this Krishna Nagar, another one.
You said that no one can do service without sanction. Mm. Who should give sanction for the service?
Yeah, I said without the sanction of the Lord. So who should give sanction? Well, there is a process of approaching the Lord. We have to approach the Guru. If Guru is satisfied, he can sanction. He said, if you approach the Lord and you chant many mantras in glorification, but if those you haven't worshipped Guru first, then Krishna doesn't accept it. So that's one aspect of service. The Guru can sanction. The Guru can give you the service. This is the whole idea, the initiation and your service is that you develop the proper attitude of approach. That's the whole idea of spiritual life. The Guru takes you to the spiritual world, to the doorstep, to the realm. But you have to make that step in. He gives you all instructions here. But you have to have the proper attitude. It's up to you. It's your decision to go. Krishna didn't force you to come. He doesn't force you to go back. But you get all instructions here. But when you get back, the Guru's in can take you to the threshold of the spiritual world. But to step across, you have to make that decision and you have to have proper service attitude. If you don't have it, you don't get access.
If, for example, Guru gives sanction for some service and other devotees they give problems to someone who is serving according to Guru's instructions. How should the devotee see this?
Oh, he shouldn't see it as a problem. He should see it sent by Krishna. Some reaction is coming, but it's not going to deviate from my service. That's right. Our consciousness will be fixed in the service. Now, the service is simply, the purpose of the service is to develop the attitude behind it, the activity, but how we can express the attitude behind it. If you don't worship Guru first, the deity doesn't accept the service. So you may offer many, many things for the deities, but if it's not being offered through Guru, then why Krishna will accept? And why Guru will accept? But Guru is very merciful, but he'll give you the service. Still you can continue in service. But the idea is that he wants you to, the attitude behind it, that's what Guru is saying, that is what Krishna is saying. That we have to cultivate. No, you can cry and beg, you can do all you want. But if the attitude is not there, you're not going to fool Krishna. What are you crying, begging for? Mercy. In what form?
No, she's
what form do you want?
Because no, she's speaking, because sometimes she has sunshine from the Guru, but some devotees try to stop. Maybe it's happened. It can happen. But I didn't understand your answer. But I comment, maybe she can beg, must be humble and waiting. Maybe she can get the service from someone who wants to do the service. Any devotee? Because sometimes I try to some local authority, I don't know, another devotees, I don't know. Some challenges are there.
Yeah, maybe something temporary will come, but you can pick up a broom. There's hundreds of roads here. You can sweep. You can join the Harinam Sankirtan party. You can just sit down and chant Hare Krishna. It's not the service that has to stop because somehow or another someone's making it difficult at the present moment. It's only a temporary blockage. It doesn't mean you can stop. You have to stop everything. It's not the end of the world. We've got unlimited service. What are we expecting from his service? If you're expecting something, then how are you going to get into the spiritual world? If we don't approach in the mood of submission and without expecting anything back, a mood of service to the holy name, to the spiritual realm, without expecting anything back. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that the spiritual realm is guarded by yogamaya potency, internal potency. She's making all the arrangements for pure devotional service. If you approach her, but you're expecting something back from your service, then she reverses and she shows her face as Mahamaya. You're talking to the Sphinx. You know what is Sphinx? It's a big statue somewhere, isn't it, in Egypt or somewhere like that, a huge stone monument statue, like a lion or something like that. Well, Yogamaya is there, but if you're not approaching the proper mood of service, then you're simply talking to Mahamaya. In other words, you're banging your head against a brick wall. You're not going to get any You're dealing with Maya, that's her face. You can't fool her. They're the same person. Mahamaya and Yogamaya are the same person. When you get to the spirit, or even you hear, you go to Mantra Srimata Radharani, it's the internal potency, you're offering beautiful prayers. She says, you're offering me very beautiful prayers, very nice prayers. But in the form of Mahamaya, you're also offering me so many prayers. You're always asking me for this. You want to enjoy me like this, you want to exploit me like this. And now you're coming to me very humbly and offering nice prayers. But in my reflection, you're giving her so much attention. They're the same person, so you can't cheat in spiritual life. So it's all about attitude. The service is for developing a proper attitude. Baba Grahaya Janadana. He likes the attitude. This Krishna likes the attitude behind the service. He doesn't need anything.
Can we do service expecting out loud that we expect out loud, but that is also
expected? It's said that we're always talking of love for God. Prabhupada said you can. He said we shouldn't ask Krishna for everything, but he did say, Krishna, I want to love you. Alright, another time he said, I just want to serve you. So we see this is the attitude of the devotees of the Lord. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives an example of how the gopis are approaching Krishna. To satisfy Krishna's desires. That's their intention. It appears that they're going to satisfy their desires. But actually they're going to satisfy Krishna's desires. So they say, well, we go to Krishna, we make ourselves look very beautiful and everything, we decorate ourselves to attract Krishna because that's what he likes. He's very fond of beautiful women, so I'm a young woman, so I make myself very beautiful. I go to Krishna so he can enjoy it for his pleasure. My decoration and everything is for his pleasure. But if I get pleasure in giving Krishna pleasure, then what is the harm? I'm not going to Krishna for my pleasure. I'm going for his pleasure. But if I get pleasure while I'm doing this, what is the harm? It's not my intention. My pleasure is not my intention. Krishna's pleasure is my intention. But if I get pleasure from bringing Krishna, what is the harm? So attitude should be approaching to serve without expectation. Can you speak into the mic? Oh, Krishna is self-satisfied. How he can... He's self-satisfied, but he wants to expand that happiness. So therefore he expands into many. He doesn't need to because he's self-satisfied. But he becomes many to increase that pleasure. God is one, he becomes many. What for? For his pleasure. So he wants to increase that so that pleasure is experienced in service. So that is real love. When there's true, then there is an exchange. Atmarama is self-satisfied, but Brahman realization, you become self-satisfied. The four Kumaras, they were self-satisfied. Why go to Vaikuntha? We're self-satisfied. We're going to go there, we're going to be self-satisfied. It doesn't really matter, we'll stay here. Out, finally they went one time out of curiosity or something. And they, that smell of the lotus coming from Krishna's feet, we're getting more ecstasy and pleasure from this than our own Atmarana. We're meditating and situated in the self, we're getting bliss of the self, but we're getting more pleasure through the senses than the Atman. So what is this? So then they came to realize bhakti, the science of bhakti. Because that Atmaram, when we speak in tattva, then we say God is self-satisfied, he doesn't need me. But when we speak rasa, and he very much he's depending on others for his enjoyment. That is rasa. So that is what Krishna like, he is rasa. Atmarama is for the jnanis and the yogis. But it's tattva, yes. God is self-satisfied, we put a label on him. He doesn't need it. But he does, he needs love. Pangitanga said, if he's self-satisfied, why is he loitering in the forest in the middle of the night playing his flute? One is in the material world, is Brahman realization and free recipient. We do both. Within our path of Vedic sadhana bhakti, you see that it's gyan is there, we're following the path of gyan, even yoga is there. Some aspects of yoga are there, meditation. So we're using these paths, like those who are karmas, yogis and jnana yogis. So we use this, whatever works you take it to become Krishna conscious. But all these forms of self-realization and practices, they're all the same to bring you up to the point of realization, Brahman realization. More or less they're all the same, that is their goal. They're all these different paths are to bring you to that point. So bhakti yoga is also a path, it's bringing, so it aims at, it's like a progressive, from tamagun, rajagun, shatagun, brahmachari, vanaprastha, vrihas, so different gradations, Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. So whatever works, you should adopt that. Whatever you have a feeling for now, we can adopt that. So we're using jnana, we're using yoga, etc. We want to become Brahman realized also.
Do we reject some of these processes that we've got now to get up to that state? And we then reject those
things? Yeah, you have to reject them. Srimad Bhagavatam says that one has to adopt some means for self-realization, but also he should learn to give up that means when he's achieved the goal. In Bhakti Yoga, the process is devotional service in practice. And the goal is also devotional service. So the means and the end are the same. but still, Vedic sadhana bhakti is given up when one comes to the platform of spontaneous devotional service. Although they're both serving Krishna, but one's serving Krishna with his conditioned nature. And Raghunuga, you're serving Krishna with your unconditioned nature. So then you'll give up that. But they're both giving yourself. So much of Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, so much of it, you have to understand you're not the body. That's Brahman realization. The whole process of Krishna consciousness depends, however, on realization of the soul beyond the body. Not theoretically, but practically. Then there will be no chance of falling back to fruitive activities again. again and again and again, it's sin. We're not the body. That's yan, it's a big part of preaching, right? So we're trying to get to the Brahman platform. So otherwise, devotional service, if you have complete implicit faith, then you just, you don't need to bother about anything. You said, how can I please Krishna? How can, is my absorbed in my service to Krishna? Then Krishna will give everything. Why the system of Jnana and Yoga is dead? Yeah, what is the consciousness of the Jnanis and the Yogis? Yeah. They want to control and they want to enjoy it. Well, yoga, Ashtanga yoga, control the sitting, control the breathing, control the mind, control the thoughts, control. Why? What is the goal? Nirvana, enjoyment. Control swagnity, gyan is the same thing. Gyan, so knowledge, I got knowledge, what do you use in that knowledge? Then I can enjoy the bliss of Brahman. So because we still have these tendencies of controlling and enjoying, then Krishna's given us an opportunity to engage that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that Nityananda Prabhu is coming and saying, please, I'm giving you the holy name freely. Just take it, just chant, you don't worry about it. You're all after happiness, whether you're a Kami Yoga, Jnani Yoga, whatever you do. Whatever your situation, the goal is happiness. Mahaprabhu has come to give you happiness, a greater happiness you can ever even imagine. Take it, and it's free. You chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Hare Rama. Some take it, some don't. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, let's analyze. Why they don't take it? He said they're unfortunate. What is their misfortune? He said that they're still holding on. They're still dependent or proud of their own intelligence. No, I'll do it my way. I'll do it through my jnana, I'll do it through my yoga, I'll do it through my vanashrama. I'll reach the goal and I'll understand Krishna through my way. So always, this is the original diseases of the material world. I want to be the controller, I want him to enjoy, I want him to take Krishna. So we still have that. It's very, very deep-rooted. So Krishna says, okay, you want to control, and here is a system of yoga. You can become the controller. And you can become the enjoyer. You can become the Brahman realization. So it's to engage that propensity. We want spiritual life, but still, we're not pure. We still have that tendency to want to enjoy it. So Krishna is giving all these different processes simply because we want to control and enjoy. Here is a system you can control, then you'll get your liberation. You'll enjoy it unlimitedly. Brahman is unlimited. Why enjoy a little bit? Become Brahman. Unlimited enjoyment. Yogis, control, is it? Where do you get your city? Woo. Go where you want, different planets, magic, everything, enjoy. But it's purifying, so Krishna's given these systems to purify. But ultimately Krishna says, give up these damn nonsense processes. Sarvadhanam parityaja. I told you so many dharmas, all these different dharmas, and you can... Now, sarvadhanam parityaja, give up all those damn dharmas. Your damn dharma of control and enjoying. Give it up. And just surrender to me, he says.
When do we know when to give up?
Right now. That's when you should do it. When you will, then that's another. But because we are holding on to this perception, I still want to be the controlling enjoy. But the moment you get that conception, the spiritual realm will be revealed, everything will be revealed. So generally it will be a practice. You reach the Brahman platform, you reach the Paramatma, you reach Bhagavan. But it may go very quickly once you're there. Once you're above Bhavanatha and the Vritya, things go very quickly. But that big anatta is what? I'm the controller and I'm enjoying. You can get back to Vaikuntha. The enjoying spirit is that I want to enjoy on the planet of the Lord. I want to enjoy having four arms. I won't enjoy the opulence. So there's still tendency, it's great. They become purified there in the presence of the Lord, but they still holding on to that perception. A pure unalloyed devotional service, as Prabhupada is giving, as Marpa was given, as practiced by the Anamsa Golokali, that has to be completely given up. Otherwise, you can reach different spiritual destinations. Even if you have desires to enjoy it.
Does that mean that certain residents on the Five
Punch
Planets are influenced by false ego as well?
No, you can't say the false ego is gone then. Because they've got their position. Now it's great, isn't it? Oh, here we can serve the Lord.
So what is that enjoying spirit that is
being
that
sort of pure thing, pure? It's considered pure in my country, it's pure. Now they're there, they fulfill their desire. So now it's them and the Lord Narayan and their emissions. Some like to live on the same planet as the Lord. They live on the outskirts. They're in Shantaras. They just want this fantastic material. It's a big problem. Let's go back to Vaikuntha. Right there, no problem. That's the incentive. How many people? If you talk of spiritual life, what is the goal of spirit? Everyone, maximum people are going to say peace. Peace of mind. So everybody wants relief from suffering. So Vaikuntha means no suffering. Let's go to Vaikuntha. Fantastic. Back to Godhead. Vaikuntha. No suffering there. So there's people who just want to go for that reason. There's no suffering. It's fantastic. And sometimes the Lord Narayan, he comes out and he makes a little detour and he goes on the outskirts of the... wherever they are and they see him. Fantastic here, isn't it? The atmosphere is beautiful. Everything. You don't have to work. Get what you want. It's fantastic. Presence of the Lord, and always in the presence of the Lord. But there's still no real desire for service. That's why it's Shantaras. Hardly any bhakti there. But still they get there, and they're feeling. They're enjoying the Vaikuntha atmosphere. So they got there, they wanted to enjoy. It wasn't so much to do with service. But because they were not envious, then they could get there. You can have exactly what you want when you become such a sankalpa. You become like the Lord. Whatever you desire can be achieved. So you can have whatever destination you want, you can desire it now when you become spiritually perfect. You can have this. It's in the Nabadi Kamhat Pramankan.